welcome to the Perpetual Notion Machine. I am your host or your co-host, Dr. Mayra Oyola Merced.
And I'm Dr. Angel Adames Corraliza. And Mayra and I are both professors of atmospheric and oceanic sciences here at UW-Madison.
Well, as in previous episodes, we'll do the first portion of today's show in English, and then we're going to switch into Espanol or Spanish after a short musical break.
And it's cold, so cold.
Oh my God, it is so cold. I'm pretty sure everyone that's listening to us today agrees with that statement.
Yeah, we've been lighting up our fireplace because it's been so cold even inside with the heater heater on. Like the draft from the windows is coming in, you know, like all that cold air is seeping in. I was not ready.
My dog has been trying to hide under my sheets. She has been actually stealing the sheets at night and hiding under them. So that's how bad it gets. And it's warm inside of the apartment, but
I would steal my own sheets, but like, what I'm doing is just like creating like this chaos in the bed because I'm trying to like grab everything to stay warm. So it is unusually cold. It is actually not typical for this time of the year to get this cold or to get the amount of snowfall that we've gotten. So in fact, we've broken record, right? We broke record.
We got several records. One for temperature, one for precipitation. And I think this is the first time that the state is all covered in snow by November. So do you want to say what those records are according to the UW-Madison Climatology Office?
So it is the largest snowfall total, a single event total for the month of November. It is, we got what, like 9 inches? Over nine
yeah,
inches?
Over nine. I think, yeah, it was like 10, almost 10, yes.
Almost 10 inches. Yeah, that's what I measured in the deck of the house. I went, like the scientist that I am, I took my measuring tape, walked outside, and measured the depth of the snow in several locations and measured roughly 10 inches at every location I measured. So that's one of the records. I think, what was the previous record, Mayra, just to have a little bit of comparison?
I think it's around six. I remember having seen the record for Milwaukee, around Milwaukee Airport. Actually, not the airport, the National Weather Service. And I believe it was around 6.2 inches.
Yeah, so it's quite a bit more than the previous record. Yeah, so this is a substantial record. It would be nice to look at the comparison. But yeah, it's a lot of snow for the month of November. And it's also the earliest we've dipped below 0 degrees Fahrenheit in the last 40 years. So the last time we got this cold this early was in 1985.
Wowza.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to say how old I was then.
You
shouldn't even mention that.
I'm not going to talk about myself. So it has been, it's been 40 years since it's gone this cold this early. So there's a couple of records there for you all. And so that is because of an important weather event, but now that the event is happening, is underway, it's also going to have some important consequences. So we're going to talk about that today. So
what's going on? So I'm pretty sure most of you have heard over the news that a so-called sudden stratospheric warming event was about to take place. If you have been paying attention to the news, this is wonderful meteorologist from UW-Madison, our colleague Andrea Lopez Lang, that has not only done some work on sudden stratospheric warming, but she has been all over the news talking about this. So for those of you who do not know, the stratosphere, it's one of the layers of the atmosphere that goes above the troposphere. We live close to the troposphere. There's something called the tropopause, which is a transition zone between the troposphere and then the stratosphere. The stratosphere, it's basically what we call the ozone layer. So if you remember all of that, everything that
from
happened
school,
probably in the 90s and early 2000s. So the stratosphere has a lot of ozone. But not only that, it's important because that particular layer has an increase in temperature compared to the tropopause. And that layer can be at around this time of the year about 10 or more kilometers above the surface. So if you think about it, it's higher than where the aircraft or the airplanes fly at cruising altitude.
Yeah, so it's pretty far high, right? Yet we're talking about this, right? And relevance to events that are happening near the surface, right? So this is a really interesting, what's going on here, that something that we're talking about, sudden stratospheric warming, can be related to things in the surface. So to talk about that, we need to talk about troughs and ridges and the ways that are associated with that. So I think a lot of you have heard about troughs and ridges, right? The weather patterns that drive our day-to-day weather are usually associated with troughs and ridges. Troughs are usually like low pressures that are associated with like southward movement of the jet stream. And then ridges are high pressures that are associated with northward movements of the jet streams. Troughs are usually cold weather related, and then ridges tend to be associated with warming, with warmer weather. These troughs and ridges are actually associated to a weather pattern, a wave that we know as a Rossby wave. And the Rossby wave is essentially an undulation of the jet stream. And the jet stream is this current of really strong air that moves from west to east. These are called westerlies, and they're like at about 10 kilometers from the surface. So they're right underneath the stratosphere. So the stratosphere is like right above the jet stream. So what's going on there, right? These waves are in the surface. These are called Rossby waves, near the surface, near the jet stream. But these waves can actually move up. They can move up into the stratosphere and interact with something that we know as the polar
vortex,
polar stratospheric vortex, Maya. So let's talk about that. Like, what is this?
So let's not confuse. So we're talking about stratospheric warming, and then there's something called polar vortex, and I'm pretty sure that most people have heard about it in the news. It's I think it's a term that became very popular about 10 years ago, and every winter we hear it. So what it is, technically, it's a large persistent region of strong westerly winds, most likely encircling the Arctic, but also they are found in the Antarctic. So again, we talked about the stratosphere. So this is where we find these winds. And I mentioned that the stratosphere is around 10 kilometers. That's kind of like the bottom of the stratosphere, but the top can extend all the way up to 50 kilometers above our planetary surface. So that normally forms every winter because we have very strong temperature gradients between the cold poles and the warmer mid-latitudes. So that actually eventually leads to tide pressure gradients, which support very fast cyclonic westerly, in some cases, westerly jet around the pole.
Yeah, hence a vortex.
Yeah, it's a vortex. Yeah, it's a vortex. So when that vortex is strong, there are some consequences. Do you want to talk about the consequences?
Yeah, so when you have a really tight, strong vortex, that tends to confine all that cold air. And so it tends to keep all the cold air in the polar regions. And so that's usually like the default. You know, like you develop like a strong vortex. The vortex can weaken or strengthen, but it usually stays pretty steady. So what can happen is what happens when it weakens so much that it breaks down, right? And so these waves that we're talking, these Rossby waves, these troughs and ridges that affect our day-to-day weather patterns, they go up into the stratosphere and they can break this polar vortex, the stratospheric polar mm-hmm. vortex. And so when that happens, all of a sudden that air from high up in the stratosphere goes down. That's normally cold air, but unlike the movie The Day After Tomorrow, when that cold air from the stratosphere comes down, it doesn't freeze things around us. It actually warms up. So it does the opposite. It warms up, it plunges down into the Arctic, and then it kind of overtakes, and then it just causes problems, essentially. It causes problems, and it makes patterns really wavy and wobbly. And that's when things get chaotic, right? We're talking about cold air outbreaks, movements of the jet stream, and the potential of development of what we saw last weekend, mm-hmm. right? A storm system. So let's talk about the storm system.
Well, let's talk about that storm system from last week. What can we say about the storm system for last week?
It brought a lot of snow. So if I
think everybody knows what happened.
Yeah.
We're still seeing the aftermath of the storm on a daily ride. Our roads are still covered in snow. Some of them are pretty clean. Others are not that clean. It's beautiful, though.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. It's actually kind of unusual. Like, I was talking to our undergrads of our department, and they actually are very, very, some of them are really acquainted with meteorological parlance. And so this type of storm is often known as a panhandle hook, because they often mm-hmm. they form in the panhandle of the Oklahoma that area over there, that panhandle area, and then they move up into the Midwest. And I noticed this, and the students did too, that is actually like a fairly unusual track.
Mm-hmm.
For late November. That's actually a track that's more associated with early February. So it's actually like a pretty early storm of this type, and it brought a lot of snow. And so that's essentially what happened. So now the question is like, well, we had all the storm. What now?
What now? Yes. So as we mentioned, one of the things is it's so obvious. We look outside, everything is beautiful, but it's also extremely white and bright. So that has a consequence in the atmosphere, and that's related to what I do for research. And that is it basically fresh snow and even compacted snow tends to increase what we call the planetary albedo. And so we just think about the atmosphere, right? We have an atmosphere. The atmosphere can absorb energy from the sun that comes in form of electromagnetic radiation. But we have surfaces on our planet. And one of the major surfaces is the ground. So there are times that some of that sunlight, it does not necessarily get all absorbed, but it also gets reflected. And it gets reflected depending on the color of the surface or what type of material the surface is made of. So now we have a lot of white surface around pretty much entire state
everywhere.
Of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So that means that we are increasing the amount of sunlight that is reflected back into the atmosphere. But if we think about what was the actual consequence of that, is that it's going to reduce the amount of warming that we get during the day. So we're losing energy, and that energy lost is going to translate into colder days. So we already have a fantastic setup for a very cold winter.
And we're not even close to, we're getting close to the solstice, but like the days are still getting shorter. We're not past the solstice where the days are slowly getting brighter and the sun's coming higher up from the horizon. We're still not quite there yet. So we have plenty of winter to get colder.
Yeah. So it's early in the season. We're getting again a lot of reflection out of our surface. Yes.
And that's pretty much it. What else can we talk about?
It's going to be cold. I believe that the Wisconsin Climatology Office is actually calling for a very cold winter with a lot of precipitation. So if you are a snow lover, and I know a lot of people that work with us, we're so happy to see all the snow. Get ready. Be ready.
Yeah, 2 years. We've had 2 years that we haven't had a lot of snow. We've had cold days, but also we've had some anomalously warm days. So this might be the first winter in a while where we get a decent amount of snow and it stays cold throughout the winter. So if you love winter sports, your cross-country skiers and you skaters, ice skaters out there, get ready. But everybody, including you guys, stay warm.
Yes, stay warm. Use your the proper apparel for the season.
All right.
And this actually concludes our English session or portion of this show. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Doctor, look into my eyes.